After all that singing, you got to have some water to wet your whistle. Thank you, John and Deirdre and Christy and all the good, wonderful leadership, worship leadership. Good morning. Good to see you all. Thanks for coming and packing out the house of the Lord this morning. I prayed for you that you would come, that God would open the doors and you would feel the urging and the nudging and by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in here and worship the Lord this morning. So we're glad you're here in the house of the Lord today. Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
All right. Are you tired?
No.
Well, I am. Hey, I want to do a little experiment. And there's a purpose because I want to give you a little bit of a object lesson this morning. If you sang in the cantata or played for the cantata, would you please stand? If you worked in the kitchen and serving out in the back, serving the goodies, would you please stand? If you served in any way, would you please stand? Any way, helping Thursday, Friday night, would you please stand? If you baked goodies for the cantata, would you please stand? If you baked. Now look around, everybody. Turn around, look around. Do you see how many hands it takes to do something like Thursday night and Friday night that happened? And God's equipped. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you for that. The object lesson, Rich, is what? The object lesson is this. All things work together for good when God's people work together for good. And we're the body of Christ. And we're working together for the purpose of bringing people to a knowledge of the Savior, Jesus Christ, that all may hear the gospel and believe. And I just want to say, I want to say to you, I applaud you. Thank you for all your hard work. It would not have happened without you, and we appreciate you so very, very much and the efforts you put into it. And you know what? To every one of you who came and brought somebody with you, I applaud you too. Because that's what it's about. It's all of us working together so that the whole world may hear the good news of our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Can I ask you to pray for our dear, dear sister Betty Buell this morning? Betty is, coming to the end of life. And her body's fading slowly and sometimes rapidly. And let's just stop. And does somebody else have someone like that in their life right now? That's okay, Marie. I see Carol. Let's just stop and pray for these dear folks. Father, we just bring these dear loved ones that we care so much about to you. And Father, we just pray your grace and your mercy. And God, the unfolding of the glory of your revelation, of your majesty and your holiness and eternal life unto them. Lord, as they get ready to say goodbye to this life, Father, reveal, show them unto eternal life what you are beyond human comprehension. God, take them when you're ready. For Lord, your word says all our days are numbered in your book before one of them comes to be, and each of us has an appointed day when we're going to leave this earth. And Father, for these dear loved ones who are drawing near to that day, God, be merciful, be your help and strength to the family and the loved ones who are around them. And God, may you just be the gentle, loving Savior, Lamb of God that you are, who carries these dear people that we love so much into the life and life more abundantly. God, eternal life in heaven forever and ever. God, we love them and we thank you that we can love you who first loved us in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we open the word this morning, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, God, for your word that's the word of truth. Lord, would you transcend our understanding? Would you open our hearts and minds to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us this morning? Would you give me clarity and wisdom to communicate what you want communicated, not what I want, Father? And Lord, help us to hear what the Spirit says today. We praise you, God of glory. Would you come and fill us today, full and overflowing in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, it's page 951. 951, we're going to the very last page of Romans. It's the 16th chapter. It's often called the doxology. We're in the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent being the fact that the coming of the Lord and looking for the coming of the Lord. Of course, He's already come and we celebrate that at Christmas time. The Lord Jesus was born and we look as believers to the second coming of the Lord as well, when He'll come again in all His glory, leading the army of God from heaven down here to take us to be with Himself and to set up His eternal kingdom and to reign forever and ever. And boy, I can't wait till that happens. Sooner the better. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Romans 16, I'm going to read three verses to you. Verses 25, 26, and 27. Page 951. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a theme in this, and you'll see it on the PowerPoint. Christ concealed is now revealed, and God calls us to obey Him. That's the theme of these three verses. Christ concealed is now revealed, and God calls us to obey Him. And Russ, would you turn the fans on in here, please? I'm hot. I don't know. Maybe you need some air, but I do. Otherwise, I'm going to pass out. No, I'm kidding you. Passed out pastor. Yeah. Some of you are saying, quickly, let it happen. Football's on. We want to go home. Christ concealed is now revealed, and God calls us to obey Him. Look at that opening phrase. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you. Stop there. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you. We're going to have kind of a Bible study here this morning, okay? Are you with me? If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible open. Man, you don't want to miss this morning. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you. This is the revealing. This is Christ revealed in us, in me. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you. Listen, God wants to strengthen me. He wants to strengthen you. God wants to strengthen me. Say that with me. God wants to strengthen me. Listen, this is not questionable. This is not a maybe. Now to Him who is able. Did you get that? It's God who is able and He wants to do this. It's God's defined purpose of Himself at work living in me. God wants to strengthen me because He's able to do that. And as a believer, I will be strengthened because God is able when I give myself to Him. Paul's assuming here. He's just assuming that this is going to happen. It's not questionable. He's assuming this is going to happen in me as a believer and in you as a believer because the God of eternity, the God of heaven, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to strengthen us. Now you say, Rich, what does that mean to strengthen? I mean, you got to ask the questions of the text when you read the text of Scripture. Ask the questions. Well, what does it mean to be strengthened? Well, the definition of strengthen in the Bible is to, and some of your King James readers, it's called establish. Strengthen, establish. It's the same word in the King James. It means, here's the definition, to fix. It means to set steadfastly. It means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. In other words, when God says He wants to strengthen us, He wants me to be fixed on Jesus. Say that with me. God wants me fixed on Jesus. He wants me fixed resolutely on Him. He wants me steadfastly focused on Jesus Christ. He wants me resolutely walking with Jesus and standing and living in the direction that Jesus wants us to be living. Towards Him. Always towards Him. And you say, can I really become like that? Can I really be strengthened and can I be resolutely fixed and steadfastly stayed on Jesus? Yes. Why? Because it's God the Father who enables us to do that. It's God the Father who empowers us through the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell in our lives, who's living inside of us, to be indeed strengthened in Him. I mean, this is Paul the Apostle's heartbeat. It's his passion that the believers, you and I, who have believed by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again into the kingdom of God, would be resolutely fixed on Jesus. And Paul even starts this letter in Romans with the exact same statement. He says in Romans 1:11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." Why? To strengthen you. Turn with me over to the book of Ephesians, page 977. Page 977, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I just think we need to look at other scriptures that reinforce this truth to help us fully comprehend and understand it. Ephesians 3:14. Where Paul prayed this exact same thing for the Ephesian believers. Ephesians 3:14, page 977. He said, "For this reason," one of the most marvelous prayers in Scripture of many, "for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be," here it comes, "He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." So that, why? "Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And we're going to stop there for the sake of time. Strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Why? Because you're strengthened and fixed resolutely, steadfastly on Him with your life. You're pointed in the direction of Jesus Christ as you live your life. And I asked this week as I was saying, where did Paul get this kind of passion for this thing? I mean, really, his passion came from God, to whom Paul was convinced. He was convinced what we saw in the beginning of Romans. God is able. And he knew that. He came to know and understand that God was able. And it became his passion. Now, to him, God is able. He's able. And Paul was a student of the Scriptures. Remember, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious student. He knew the Scriptures well. And I'm sure he knew Isaiah 41:10 about God. "Fear not," God says. "Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You see, God is able. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you. Paul got that conviction right out of the prophetic scriptures of Isaiah. And really, you need to understand something. It's good. It's good for you and for me to be strengthened and fixed on Jesus Christ, resolutely not moved away from His direction. It's the very best thing for me. That's what the writer to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led astray by diverse and strange teachings, for it's good for your heart to be strengthened by grace, God's grace. Well, you know, I studied this and I looked at it and I thought, okay, here comes the application question. What should this look like in my life? I mean, if I'm strengthened in God, I'm resolutely fixed on Jesus Christ, I'm leaning on His everlasting arms, God's able and I believe He's able in my life, then what should that look like? I mean, should I be changed? Should I feel differently? Should I act differently? Should I look differently? And you know what the answer is? Yes, 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 and yes. I should be changed. When the God of glory comes into my life because He's able and He changes me, I should be changed from the inside out. There should be peace in what I feel instead of turmoil. There should be joy instead of despair. There should be hope instead of hopelessness. There should be love instead of hatred and anger and bitterness and all that kind of stuff. Should I be changed? Yes. Should I feel differently? Yes. Should I look differently? Yes. I should look differently to the world. And I'll look differently to Jesus and to God the Father because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and I'm no more dark and sin-stained anymore. I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed and I should radiate the joy of the Lord in my life. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, they will know you by your love. As the world watches you in the way that you love the other believers, the world will know you and they'll hunger and want what you want. They'll love Jesus and want Him too. We should look differently. Should I act differently? You better believe it. I should be a better husband and a different husband. And you should be a better wife and a different wife. And you should be a better son and a different son and a better daughter and a different daughter. You should learn what it means to really honor your father and your mother, that it will go well with you. You should know, husbands, what it really means that you're to be different when you're resolutely fixed on Jesus Christ who strengthens you. What it really means to serve your wife and give yourself up for her and lay it all down. Wives, you should know what it means to become beautiful on the inside, Peter says, with a loving and gentle and quiet spirit. Like Sarah of old. You should know what it means to be a parent and a grandparent who at every opportunity you have speaks truth to that child and that grandchild and exhorts them to the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. You should be a different neighbor to that person that you're living next to who's so hard to get along with sometimes. I know your neighbor. Listen, it's called love. It's called love. It's called laying yourself down for the sake of drawing them into the kingdom of God. It's about giving up because Christ gave everything up for you and laid His life down willingly. And He calls you and I, as He called the disciples, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ daily. I'll guarantee you want a different relationship with that neighbor. You start loving them instead of being angry with them. You start loving them and appreciating them. And you'll have a different neighbor. You'll have a relationship with that neighbor you never dreamed possible. God is able. And in His ableness, He will strengthen you to do that. Well, how is God able to strengthen me? That's the next question, really. Here comes Advent. Here comes the revelation of the mystery. This is now moving in the theme. Christ concealed is now revealed. Notice that Paul gives three phrases in the text. I'm back in Romans 16 again. Notice that Paul gives three phrases here to explain how God strengthens us. Three times Paul uses the words according to. Pay attention to phrases when you read it. Pay attention to words when you read the word. Three times here in three verses he says according to, according to, according to. And right away you read that and you say, uh-oh. This is something important. He said three times according to. I better pay attention. What is he saying here? Three times according to. These are key words that I believe introduce each of the vital factors of what it means to be strengthened in our relationship with God that we're called to be fixed into through Jesus Christ. Here's the first one. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, Paul says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Here's the first vital factor. Why does Paul call it his gospel? First question out of my mind this week as I read this. Whoa, why did he own it? He said, my gospel. I thought it was Jesus' gospel. He says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Why does Paul call it his gospel? Because he's the preacher of it. He's the proclaimer of it. The gospel has so changed Paul's life. It's so transformed him from being a murderer, an accuser of the brethren, and a destroyer of the church into being an apostle, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a builder up of the church and a church planter and a missionary who's proclaiming the gospel. It's so transformed him, and he's so fallen in love with Christ who preached to him, he can't help but own what has changed him. He's owned it. According to my gospel, he's owned it. He's taken full ownership of the good news because his head's been changed, his heart's been captivated by the love of Christ, he's been rescued from the dominion of darkness, he's been brought suddenly into the kingdom of light. He's been changed completely inside and out. He's been brought out of darkness. He's been brought into the light, who's the God of light. And he says, that's it. I'm owning it. This is gospel that's changed me. And it's my gospel. And it's through the preaching of Jesus Christ that we're strengthened. I think he's just simply stating Hebrews 2:3, really. It says there, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard it. And that's what Paul is saying here. You see, Paul believed the gospel, and he himself was strengthened by it as he fixed his life on Jesus Christ. And he says, when you and I believe that gospel, and when we own it as our own and declare it to others, we will be strengthened in that way as well. Have you owned it? Have you owned the gospel? You talk like you've been born again, but have you owned it? Is it your gospel? Could you say what Paul is saying? Do you say what Paul's saying? My gospel and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you owned it? Is it your own? Do you know how you've owned it? You talk about it to others. It's very simple. So if you're not talking about it to others, I might say to you, you haven't owned it. If it has not changed you so much inside that you're so fixed on Jesus, you're transformed and you know it, and your head thinks differently, your mind thinks differently, your heart reacts differently in a given situation, and it reacts the way Jesus would react, you maybe haven't owned it yet. That means you know about the gospel, and with your head maybe you believe it, but if it hasn't changed your life to the point where you own it, that you call it your own, and you freely and openly and willingly talk about it to others, you haven't owned it. You know, I've had a lot of salesmanship training in the years of my life. I had sales jobs. My first sales job was 18 years old or 19 years old, and I had to go door to door in the farms in Iowa, and I had to sell this chlorinator that would drop little chlorine pellets down the well and the farm wells to purify the water, and it was $500 at that time in 1974, I think it was, and I mean, what a job. But you know what? I had to go to 2 weeks of sales training school first. I had to learn how to make a presentation. I had to know the product. I had to learn all about the product. I had to learn the reasons why for it. I had to begin to own it before I could go out and ever sell it to somebody. But you know, when I walked on that yard, I could sell those machines when I wanted to because I owned it. And I'd pull it out and say, look at this. Look at this nice white capsule. It looked like a spaceship, literally. And you pull it apart and had this time clock in it and this mechanism that rotated every so often on the time clock, and it'd go plunk and it would drop a pellet down the well. And a couple hours later, plunk, and another pellet would go down the well. And I'd say, oh, look at this thing. Isn't this something? You need this on your well here on the farm. Well, what's it called? Oh, $500, but it's a lifetime investment, you know. And I had to own it in order to sell it. You know what I'm talking about. You can't sell something you don't own. You can't talk about Jesus if you don't own Him either. And we're called to talk about Him and to share Him with the world around us. And Paul says, the God who's able will strengthen you so that it can become your gospel, because Jesus Christ Himself has preached it to you. And He so believed that, He Himself was strengthened, He so fixed His life on the gospel, He quit being a Pharisee, and He took off and started walking Asia Minor, declaring Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, planting churches all over the place. It so changed Him. Here's the second one. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you, the second way to get strengthened. Paul says, here's those words again, according to. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the ages. And I read that this week and I thought, Rich Hubert, how are you going to explain this? Well, you know what? There's only one way to explain it, with Scripture. The Scripture, what's this revelation of the mystery? According to the revelation of the mystery, it's all about the mystery. Remember, Christ concealed is now revealed, and we're called to obey Him. He's been concealed. That's been the mystery all along here. Paul told Timothy, this is the mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16, you might just write this down. Or you can look at it if you want, but write it down. It's well worth knowing. It's the totality of the mystery. It says there, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Here it comes. He unfolds what that mystery is. He says, He, Jesus, was manifested in the flesh. In other words, Jesus became one of us. The veil of heaven was torn open, and Christ came down here as one of us, born in the flesh, John would say in the first gospel, in the first chapter. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit. What does that mean? It means He was raised up from the dead. He was raised up from the dead, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels. They were the first one who saw Him risen from the dead. Proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and then taken up in glory. There's the full ramification of the revelation of the mystery being revealed to us that was written down in long ages past and is now revealed. That was kept secret for so very, very long. Turn with me again to the book of Ephesians, same chapter, page 977. Because I think Paul explains this mystery to the Ephesians better than anywhere else in all of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, we want to read verses 1 through 12 and just briefly talk about them. 977 page. Paul says this. And look about the mystery. Watch as the mystery is unfolded as we read this. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. He's talking about way back in the beginning. As it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the whole point there, I believe, Paul is trying to unfold is there's two things here in this mystery. Number one, that which was hidden, Jesus Christ, has now been revealed. And part of that revealing was, it wasn't just for the Jews. Christ didn't come just for the nation of Israel. He came also for the Gentiles as well. And everybody's going, oh, we never knew that. We always thought the Jews were the chosen people. The Jews were the ones who were given the land of Israel. The Jews were the ones chosen out of all the nations of the earth and loved by God and cared for by God and taken care of by God and walked through the desert of Sinai for all those years by God and brought into the promised land. We thought we were the recipients of God's grace and mercy and the revelation of the mystery. And Paul says, there's more. There's more. It's not just for the Jews, but the unfolding of the mystery, the revelation of the mystery is the fact that the Jew and the Gentile alike have the opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You see, every tribe, every tongue, every nation should have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ and be saved into the kingdom of God and be strengthened or not as they choose to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. The revelation of the mystery unfolded, Paul says, according to that, as you understand and believe and embrace that and be active in the proclamation of the gospel, you will be strengthened in that. Here's the third one. Are you with me? I told you we're going to have a Bible study this morning. Listen, Christmas is so much more than just the baby coming. I know it's a great thing to worship the baby in the manger, but he didn't stay there. He had such an eternal, a greater eternal purpose than that. And it's important for us. It will vitalize your worship as you understand these things. Christ concealed is now revealed, and we're called to obey him. It'll change the way we worship. It changes my Christmas celebration. I used to think it was kind of mundane growing up. It was always the same thing. Now it's not the same thing anymore. It's so much more. Here's the third one. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, remember that's the opening phrase in verse 25. Here's the third way to be strengthened. According to the command of the eternal God, Paul says. You will be strengthened, you are strengthened, according to the eternal command of God. All this mystery unveiled that we just read about, Jesus coming here, Jesus being born, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus rising again from the dead. Listen, God commanded it. His Father in heaven commanded it. The eternal God of the world and the universe, the great creator of all mankind and all of everything, commanded it. Get your mind and heart around that. For you, he commanded that. Not man, But God did this. God the eternal God. God the everlasting Father. God the Most High loves you and I that much that He would command on behalf of that such a great salvation would be offered to you and to me. This is the absolute and sovereign will of the eternal God that the mystery be unveiled for you. God commanded it. Think about that. You see, I believe with all my heart that when you and I take hold of, by force, the great and precious promises and truths of what God the Father has done on our behalf, we can't help but be strengthened in our inner being, living out our faith in this world in the most vital manner. I like what Matthew Henry in his commentary says about this particular inscription according to the command of the eternal God. He says, Matthew Henry says this, He, God, is to everlasting, intimating the eternal continuance to us. We must never look for any new revelation, but abide by this, for this is according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Christ in the gospel is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, what have we covered thus far this morning? Here it is. The first according to, so that we'd be strengthened in our faith. That when you hear the gospel, you won't just hear it. You won't even just say you believe it. You'll own it. It'll change you from the inside out. You'll look different. You'll feel different. You'll act different. You will begin to proclaim it to others around you. That's the first principle of the according to. We are strengthened when you begin to proclaim it. And you own it. The second one, according to the mystery, you're strengthening your faith when you accept that God has revealed to you such a great and eternal mystery from ages past that is for all nations to hear. You'll be strengthened when this is a worldwide event and proclamation through Jesus Christ. And you'll be strengthened, number three, as we just looked at, when you embrace that it's the eternal, everlasting, most high, majestic God who's commanded this for you and for me. And I sat back this week and I said, why? Why has God done all this? And He gives the answer in verse 26. Remember, Christ concealed is now revealed. Here it comes. Why has He done this? Because it's a call to obedience. He calls us to obedience. To bring about, verse 26b, to bring about the obedience of faith. God calls us to obey Him. This is about my life being changed by faith because I believe the gospel that Jesus Christ came to save and deliver me. And through my obedience to that faith in Jesus Christ alone, I'm strengthened, I'm established forever and ever unto eternal life. You maybe don't know Betty Buell very well. It just occurs to me that this is her life in a nutshell. There is no one that I've ever seen at 90 years old who would sit out on the street corner and share the love of Jesus Christ with people as they went by, day in and day out, waving at them, telling them that God loved them, encouraging them, praying under her breath for them. You see, she was so captivated, she realized what God had done for her life, and she was so strengthened and established by that, and forever and ever into eternal life, and she's so waiting to go home. She's been telling me for 2 years, I just want to go home to glory. Christ concealed is now revealed, and God calls us to obey Him. Jesus Christ wants me to obey Him by believing by faith in Him. You see, this is the result of being strengthened. You won't be strengthened until by faith you take that critical step towards receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior first. That's the first step to being strengthened. That's the premise, I believe, behind all that Paul's teaching here. It's first step towards God, unequivocally, wholeheartedly, without reservation, completely laying everything down, putting everything behind you in this life and saying, Lord Jesus, it's you, it's you, it's all you, and it's nothing else but you in my life. And laying everything down but Jesus Christ. He wants me to obey Him by believing by faith in Him, and it's the result of being strengthened. It's what we studied all summer, if you were with us or listening to us, and all fall in Galatians. Justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. The only way to be right with God is through the Savior Jesus Christ. That's why He said, I'm the door. I'm the only way, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the gate, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the bread, eat of me, I'm the drink, thirst no more, drink of me. Christ wants me to obey Him by believing in faith in Him. I love it. In Acts, this is proved out in reality. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, and the word of God continued to increase. This is right after Pentecost when Jesus ascended to heaven and He sent the Holy Spirit. And it said, and the word of God continued to increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And listen to this. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You want your first step of obedience? Step towards the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. That's the first step. That's the first step to being strengthened. You see, lives are changed. Your life will change when you, by faith, trust wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ with all your heart, when you repent of your sin nature and your condition, and you choose to obey Him. And you say, Rich, why should I do that? Because God has commanded it from eternity for you. Last question. What's the reason for all of this? Here it is. Paul says at the end there in verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can take the first phrase of 25 and put it with the end, because everything else is kind of like the bologna in between the sandwich. I shouldn't use bologna. Like the ham. Sorry. Poor choice of words. It's like the egg salad. There we go. In between. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you, and you put that with the end, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. And all the according to's are the egg salad in between those two statements. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, listen, when you love the Son, you love God of the glory forever and ever. When you and I love the Son, you love the only wise God. There is no other God. When you love the Son, you bring glory to God the Father. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you, to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Paul said the same thing as he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:17. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, when you and I openly embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, that brings glory to God. It announces Him to the nations. Our open faith testifies of God's eternal magnificence, His salvation glory, His eternal being. When you love the Son, you bring glory to God. Bringing glory to God is the reason He created you in the first place and the reason you exist in this life. And you say, really? Really? You have an eternal purpose for existing on this earth. Who you are. Rich Hubert, you have an eternal existence for existing, an eternal purpose for existing, so that I can bring glory to God and you might be to the praise of His glory, Paul writes in Ephesians 1:12. That we'd be to the praise of His glory. See, when you love God like He loves you, you can't help but talk about Him to other people, and you bring glory to God when you communicate the gospel to other people. You know, this gets so personal. I mean, it comes right down, swooping right down into this sanctuary this morning. We have a vision. It's called Touch San Carlos. That every man, every woman, and every child would have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe by faith and be saved. That's our vision as a body of believers. And we're embarked on a ministry campaign, Touch San Carlos Ministry Expansion Campaign. And I just happen to think that Romans 16, 25, 26, and 27 is the foundational purpose for what we're doing in our Touch San Carlos Ministry Expansion Campaign, seeking to have a greater impact on greater Mexico with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That every man, woman, and child can hear the good news of Jesus Christ and be saved. We're not raising money for the sake of a building. It's not about buying bricks and cement and putting a new roof over this structure and putting a new addition on that end and putting a couple new bathrooms on this end. It's not about that at all. Yeah, that's part of it. It's the tool that God has given us to use to proclaim the gospel. But that's not the reason. The reason is that every man, woman, and child can hear that gospel and have an opportunity to believe. Whether it's here in this locale as God brings them to us, as we pray He does, and He's doing that. Or as we go out into the mission field taking backpacks and going on medical teams and reaching out to friends and neighbors and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Taking groceries and food in times of need and being there to tell them about the love of Christ and exhorting them to believe upon Jesus so that they too may bring Him glory. Precious brothers and sisters this morning, listen. We've been given something so eternally precious that we dare not keep it to ourselves. Paul couldn't keep it to himself. He said, my gospel, preached to me by Jesus Christ, is for all the nations. We've been commanded by the Lord Jesus Himself, who preached that gospel to us, to go into all the world and proclaim the message. And here we sit in the middle of Mexico, an expat church with the most marvelous, wonderful opportunity that I couldn't possibly personally fathom or imagine we would ever have. That I would ever have, that Karen would ever have, that we could be plopped down here in the middle of the Mexican culture in the foreign field to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? Guard your heart. Guard your hearts, precious people, that you don't cloister us into our little community church and think we got to stay this community church when God has called us to fling our arms open and declare what we have owned and been bought and purchased and redeemed by to the greater Mexico. That all would hear in Mexico and beyond, every Jew and Gentile, every nation, tribe, and tongue, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ concealed is now revealed, and God calls us to obey Him.